And when I worked for that startup, just before the tech boom, I'd say, take the higher salary instead of the stock options. That would have benefited me a little bit better in the long run.
From the jshulman.com studio, this is the Building a Life and Career in Security podcast. Now, your host, Jay Shulman.
Thanks, it's Jay. Welcome to another episode of the Building a Life and Career in Security podcast, the podcast that lets you see how others grow their information security careers. Today's guest is Michael Dopney, or Dop. Dop has spent a majority of his career in the research and engineering space, or R&E as he'll describe, working for universities and research institutions. With a brief stint in the corporate world, Dop will talk about the differences between working in the private and public sector. Here is Dop's career journey in his own words.
So my career kind of, got started in the early to late 90s, back when I was in high school. Me and my friends from a small town, kind of screwing around, learning things on our own. This is back in the day, Linux is still fairly new. The internet is Netscape 1 and stuff like that. So in order to get things to work, you had to really, really dig in to get things to work together. And we had a really, really cool group that, I don't know what you call it, but we called it Explorers. This company in town, Gardner, Denver, I think it was, that would let these teenage kids just come in at night, no one around, no supervision at all, on their engineers' workstations and just do whatever we wanted. Usually that involved playing Doom or something, but we had to learn how the network worked to get that to take place. So then I went to U of I in Urbana-Champaign. I actually went for mechanical engineering, thinking that I was going to be an engineer or a draftsman or something like that, like my dad. As that went along, I needed some money to help pay for, food and beer and stuff. So I got, the only job I was really qualified for, which is, like a little lab sysadmin. I had a couple like that, working for the math department, bioacoustics research lab, stuff like that. Really great jobs, learned a lot. But then it kind of became clear at the end of my college career that, there's no way I was actually going to be a mechanical engineer. I loved coming up with the ideas and the concepts. But when it came to doing, Fourier transforms for control equations, I had no interest in doing that as a career. So into college last semester, I think, and a couple years after, I worked for a small startup company in town. They did online learning. The interesting thing about that is I spent a lot of my time building the systems to do some of that learning, but I also spent a lot of my time writing courses, like intro to C programming, a couple courses on Unix, how to be a system administrator, which was really interesting, really fulfilling in a way. But it also stagnated my skills a little bit. I felt like I spent so much time teaching people what I was doing that I wasn't learning anything else myself. Then, the tech burst kind of happened. I think about half the company got laid off for funding reasons. And I ended up getting a great job at the National Center for Supercomputing Applications, which is also based in Champaign, Illinois. And I was there for 9.5 years. I held a number of positions, started off building packages on a bunch of different Linux and Unix hosts, eventually transitioned into the security team, did a little bit of work. We had a little small project with the FBI for a while. It was fun. And then ended up, in incident response and day-to-day stuff. At that point, I was really happy there. Really, really happy there. When a friend of mine offered me a chance to join him at a new team at a financial organization, a major bank. And at first I turned him down. I'm happy here. I don't really see any need to move. And then kind of series of unfortunate events, the state of Illinois, if you want to look at history of our governors and how many of them are in jail. There was, some funding issues where became clear that in order to get a raise or anything at my current position, I had to get a competing offer. So, so I talked to my friend. I said, "Hey, can you give me an offer?" He said, "Yeah, just come up and at least lie to me and tell me pretend you're being serious about, my offer." And I went up there and I really enjoyed or really liked what he was doing. So I ended up leaving NCSA and joining this bank. I was there for about 3.5 years, eventually promoted to manage a penetration testing team within the bank. It was a really good time. And then I just got lucky. Right now I'm at the Energy Sciences Network, ESnet. We connect essentially, all the DOE labs together, really high-speed networks, really innovative stuff, really great network engineers. And I've kind of been following ESnet for a while, but I'd always told a couple of my friends that work there that, if a security engineer position comes up, please let me know. And that happened. So super excited to, I've only been here about 6 months. I'm super excited to be here. And, I think this is really where I want to be in the research and education space. So that's my career in a nutshell.
Very interesting. So you said something really interesting to me. And so we'll go all the way back to the first thing you said. And if I wrote this down correctly, to get things to work, you really had to dig in. And I totally believe that. And I also think that today, a lot of people don't get that opportunity to dig in. Do you think that's true? And how, if you're just getting out of college today or just trying to learn this stuff, how do you dig in?
to me, it's really, really important. If you want to be able to, especially for security, if you want to be able to secure something, you have to understand how that thing works at a fundamental level. You know, whether that's, you know, systems engineering, networking, you know, if you want to know how to put a physical security, even, you know, if you want to put a lock on a door, you have to understand how buildings are built too, you know. And I agree that a lot of people these days, you know, the new people coming up, they don't have that opportunity even. You know, systems work a lot better than they used to. It's not like we were coming up that, you know, in order to get connected to the internet and Linux, you had to figure out how your DIP configuration worked and manage your Windows system through a config file. You know, now all that stuff works for them, so they don't have as much opportunity to be forced to learn that stuff. So if they need to do that, they have to really go out of their way to learn that themselves. It's not forced upon them like it was for us.
So mechanical engineering background, and I see a ton of people kind of in the same situation. For whatever reason, they picked a degree when they went to college, and certainly you went to my alma mater down in Champaign. Do you use your mechanical engineering degree today? Are there things in information security that the mechanical engineering degree has actually helped you?
A little bit. I think some of the, you know, they always tell you when you're in school that, oh, we're not teaching you the specific thing. We're teaching you these problem solving skills or whatever, which seems a little bit nebulous, but you know, it's kind of right. You know, it teaches you that, and writing the technical papers and reports you have to do for your senior design project. That's helpful. It's a big deal at the time, you know, but 10 years later in your career, you're writing 20 page reports every week. It's like, wow, that seemed like a huge deal, but now I'm doing it constantly. Even more so, you know, computers were kind of my hobby back then. And I kind of switched. So now computers are my job, but mechanical engineering is more like what I do for like a hobby. I'll build stuff in the garage and screw around. You know, I kind of switched my hobby and career there.
Yeah. I mean, I remember going to college and thinking that I didn't want to ruin my hobby by doing it for work. And that, you know, computers was this fun thing, and gosh, I wouldn't want to ruin that by making a career out of it. I don't know at what point. I think it was when I graduated that I was like, well, that's stupid. This is something I really enjoy. Why am I not doing it more often?
Right.
So we ask, or I ask everybody, you know, the same two questions. And one of those questions is, you know, thinking back through your career journey, was there a decision that you really agonized over and man, it went really well for you?
Sure. And I think that has to be, and I kind of mentioned already, you know, when I left NCSA to join the bank, that was really, really hard for me. I was very happy with my work. I loved the team I was working with. They were all great people. You know, so it's like, I'm taking a real risk here, you know, starting a job that I don't really know a whole lot about that sector. But it really was career changing for me as far as not just, you know, financially getting out there, but as well as, you know, learning more about, you know, what I want out of a job and my long-term career. Like, do I want to be a technical person all the time? You know, I got a chance to try management. I got a chance to try, you know, corporate life over R&E. That was extremely, extremely valuable for me, even though it was, you know, pretty stressful at times.
So do you, and I think you have a really interesting background having done both the corporate and the R&E side. Do you want to talk a little bit about the differences and, you know, having gone to the corporate world and then jump back again? I'm guessing that there's a preference towards the R&E side, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, there is. There's a couple things. You know, when I was working for the, you know, essentially the state of Illinois with some federal funding, you know, there's a lot of bureaucracy there. Like, you want to buy something, you have to go through a bunch of red tape and go through a bidding process and do all this stuff to try to just get work done. And I thought that was frustrating. And there's no way the corporate world would be as bad. Boy, was I wrong. No, it's basically the same kind of thing, but it's, you know, corporate politics. And do you have the budget? And do the board of directors approve that budget? All the politics are kind of, it's the same feel, just a different motivator. Didn't see as much of a difference there as I thought I was going to. The big thing for me, what brought me back into R&E, was just, you know, I like being on the cutting edge. I like dealing with technology that's, you know, maybe not supported by a vendor because the vendor's not even capable of doing it yet. You know, it's new stuff. You know, I remember I was talking to them about using a Bro IDS when I was working there in corporate. And they're like, well, you can't do that. We have, you know, we have 1 gig at the border. That's too much traffic. I'm like, you know, there's no way. I'm like, Berkeley's been doing 100 gig for years. You have no idea what's cutting edge right now. And I had to get back into that space.
So, yeah, thinking back, and I know it's hard to think about the hypothetical, but you talked a little bit about one of the kind of defining moments when you moved from NCSA to the financial sector was our wonderful governors here in the state of Illinois and messing some things up. Do you think if that didn't happen, do you think you would have still accepted the job in the financial institution, or do you think you would have stayed even longer than the 9.5 years?
I think I would still be at NCSA today. Or maybe if the ASNet job opened up, I would have moved there. But when I was originally asked, I turned him down. I'm like, no, I'm happy here. I don't care what your offer is. I'm not interested in leaving. I'm very, very happy here. And then it essentially became down to a financial decision. After multiple years of zero, no raises, I think the year before I left, we had furlough week, actually. You know, that state of Illinois budget issue was kind of a huge motivator, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting that they kind of pushed you to make a change, which you kind of said was, you know, really for the best. So thinking back to the second question that we ask everybody is the idea of a do-over. Certainly, we don't get to have these in real life, but if you could do something over differently again, what do you think it would be?
Sure. And I thought about that question, you know, knowing you were going to ask it. It's a difficult thing to think back. I mean, you know, like, what would I do over? You know, there were a lot of definitely mistakes I've made, things that didn't really go as well as I'd like. But most of those, you know, looking back, you know, as stressful or hard as they were good learning opportunities. And if I, you know, could see the future and didn't do those, I wouldn't be as well-rounded as I am today. So I think, I mean, the one thing I think that kind of stands out, you know, again, if I could see the future is, you know, when I worked for that startup just before the tech boom, I'd say, take the higher salary instead of the stock options. That would have benefited me a little bit better in the long run.
Wow, that's really interesting. I think people oftentimes are drawn to different types of rewards and different types of negotiations. So that's very helpful. Well, thank you for joining us. So if people heard things that were interesting to them and want to connect with you, how do they find you?
Sure. If you can spell my last name, I'm easy to find. It's dopheide@gmail.com. Please feel free to reach out. I'm happy to answer any questions or clarify anything, and I guess that's it.
Thanks to Dop for joining us today. As you heard from one of my questions, I'm a big believer in understanding how things work and getting your hands dirty with technology. I think it's a big takeaway from today's conversation. If you reach out to Dop, make sure he knows you heard from him here on the podcast. If you have any comments or questions about today's podcast or want to join me talking about your career journey, shoot me an email at podcast@jshulman.com. If you found this podcast valuable, let me know by leaving a comment on iTunes. And thanks for listening to this episode of Building a Life and Career in Security podcast. Please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or at jshulman.com/podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Building a Life and Career in Security podcast with Jay Shulman. For more information and to subscribe, go to jshulman.com.